Welcome to Hardwood Handicappers with Zach Cohen, right here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This is Zachary Cohen, VSiN.com senior editor with a Friday edition of Hardwood Handicappers. Hardwood Handicappers is sponsored by Better Picks, the fantasy app that turns your basketball takes into cash. Download the Better app and use code VSINPOD to get $10 free. No deposit needed. That's VSINPOD, V-S-I-N-P-O-D. We have a link for that in the description. We don't have a whole lot to get into from last night. I mean, it ended up being a night that I thought I had a really good read on, but I didn't end up winning a ton. It was a profitable evening, so that's always good. But I got a little bit scared with that Pelicans game, and I ended up parlaying them on an alternate spread with the Celtics money line because I didn't want to take the 4.5 or 5.5, and ended up getting killed because Boston lost that game outright. New Orleans won outright, so I ended up being right about the Pelicans playing well in that game. But look, it was a good evening. I still won, so I can't be too upset about it. But, you know, in regards to that Pelicans game, it was another really good performance from Derek Queen, who had 17 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds in a victory. You could still get Queen at 12-1 to win Rookie of the Year. It's an interesting situation because I really do think that Flagg is playing well enough now that if he continues to play this well the rest of the season, he's going to win. But at the same time, Queen's the one that's kind of filling up the stat sheet and putting up the big eye-popping numbers, you know, more consistently. So I don't think that he's out of it yet. I have a little bit of Queen at 50-1. There are people that have done better than me off of my handicapping because, you know, we have a very loyal fan base here at VSiN, and, you know, some of the people that listen to like a numbers game specifically, and, you know, the show with Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin, they've got 150-1, 100-1 on Queen because I mentioned that all the way back on November 6th that it was something that I just kind of threw away in passing, and I didn't actually have it myself, but people that actually listened to the show did end up taking it. So that always makes me happy when people have better numbers than I do. But yeah, I think that Queen's a really interesting case here because I do think, you know, it's going to end up being Flagg or Queen in the end. I know that Knipple has kind of been the front runner for a big portion of this season and maybe viewed as the number two right now, but I do think that Queen's going to pass him and it'll be more of a battle between Flagg and Queen, but I do think Flagg will edge him out. Yeah, I also mentioned that the Bucks beat the Celtics in a game in which Boston led by 14 points. The Celtics had a 5-game winning streak going in that one, so really a good opportunity for them to move that streak to 6 and just kind of keep playing well in the Eastern Conference. But man, Bobby Portis got hot, and when Bobby Portis gets hot in Milwaukee, it is hard to beat this Bucks team. So a really good win for the Bucks, honestly, because they needed some positive momentum with all of the, you know, the Giannis Antetokounmpo stuff happening off the floor. And, you know, Giannis did give a speech to the team a couple of days ago and told them to focus on basketball, which is absolutely insane because he's the one that is, you know, causing them to not focus on basketball. But yeah, any win is good, and any time that they can prove to him that they have a decent team around him is always a win, because I do still think that, you know, Giannis staying in Milwaukee might be the best thing for both parties because the Bucks can buy, you know, at some point and add pieces around him. And I do think that there are some solid rotation pieces there, and still think that the Eastern Conference is really down. So I don't think that, you know, it's impossible to think that Giannis can one day win again in Milwaukee, maybe not win a title, but, you know, maybe get back to the NBA Finals. That doesn't seem out of the realm of possibility to me at all. Another result last night, we saw the Clippers lose a really close game to the Rockets. Interesting because Los Angeles now moves to 3-1 against the spread since moving on from Chris Paul, a move that I thought was, you know, absolutely disgusting. I've talked about it a lot on this podcast. I just absolutely hate what they have done to, you know, the veteran and what was supposed to be, you know, his retirement tour and, you know, the celebration of his career. Moving on from him really bothered me, but at the same time, they are playing a little bit better lately. The question I have is, like, does this team have any time for moral victories? The answer is no. I mean, the start to the season has been so damn slow, and this is a team that absolutely needs to be in the top six in the Western Conference to, like, feel like this wasn't a failure of a season. Although, you know, at this point, that seems nearly impossible, so getting into the play-in would be the goal. But, man, yeah, this is a team that really needs to start winning games and not just being close in games. Maybe this is, you know, them getting started in the right direction and they start to win, but they are going to need to start to figure this out very, very quickly. I mean, it'll help when they start to get some of their bodies back. Like, I think the Derrick Jones Jr. is a really big one. Just, like, defensively, what he brings to that team on the wing is absolutely massive. But yeah, it was a close loss. It was a competitive loss, but this team needs to win games, not just prove that it can hang around in games. And then yesterday, I think that the kind of the story of the day, not really surrounding a team that was playing. It's a team that's playing tonight. The Memphis Grizzlies lose Zach Edey to another ankle injury. It's a stress reaction on the ankle that he had surgery on in the offseason. He will be reevaluated in 4 weeks, and it just kind of feels like this Grizzlies team can't catch a break whatsoever because, I mean, Edey had been playing some of the best basketball that we've seen for anybody in Memphis over the last couple of years. I mean, this is a guy that is right now number one in the NBA in defensive estimated plus minus. He has been a force protecting the rim. He's also been a force around the rim offensively on the other end of the floor. And he's a big part of the reason that despite the fact that the Grizzlies are playing without Ja Morant right now, this team was 7-4 in games played with Edey. They've gotten back into the mix in the Western Conference and starting to look like a team that can threaten for a play-in spot. They're in one right now. And, you know, Ja Morant is potentially coming back tonight. It should have been all positive things, you know, looking forward. But Edey being out for the next couple of weeks is really going to kill this team. We saw how they looked without him early in the year. It was just a much different team. Everything on both ends of the floor makes more sense when you have a rim protector like Edey, when you have a presence around the basket like Edey, like a roller, you know, in pick and rolls, a guy that can, you know, make his mark on the offensive glass. Everything's going to look worse without him. So I'm a little bit worried about this because I do have the Grizzlies over 39.5 wins. That was one of my bigger plays. And yeah, just the timing of it's terrible. I mean, hopefully Ja Morant comes back and finds a way to fit in with this team while also playing his explosive brand of basketball. I mean, they can use a guy that can attack downhill, that can score easily, but it's going to have to be on their terms. It can't be on his terms anymore. This team has proven that they could win without him. It's time for him to prove that he could win with them. So I think that that's a really interesting scenario to look at tonight. I'm not going to talk about that Jazz Grizzlies game because it's one of the, you know, probably the worst games on the board. And, you know, Memphis is a pretty big home favorite. They really should win that game and don't really have any lean sides or totals wise. But yeah, I had to mention Edey because that is pretty big for the, you know, long-term picture for this Grizzlies team. Last thing I want to say before I dive into tonight's games, it's a futures thought. It's something that I decided kind of last night. I've been talking about it a lot over the last couple of weeks. You know, when we talk about most valuable player award in this league, I'm starting to think that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a buy at plus 130, which is available at DraftKings Sportsbook right now. I just think that you see the starts of the season that we've seen for this OKC team, 24-1. This is a team that has been absolutely dominant all throughout the season. I think that SGA is going to get his flowers for that. I mean, you're talking about a player that is now, you know, number one in the league in estimated plus minus, number one in the league in estimated wins added over at dunksandthrees.com. I think that they do the best job of anybody with catch-all metrics. I think that they do the best job of kind of capturing, you know, who has been the best player in basketball. And I think that when you're talking about SGA versus Nikola Jokic specifically, that's a battle that I've actually given the lean to the Joker to over the last couple of years. And it's mostly because of all of those advanced metrics over at Dunks and Threes. But this year you're talking about a big gap between the Thunder and the Nuggets. I mean, the Nuggets are the number two team in the Western Conference. Jokic is doing his part. But I think that OKC having a historically great season and SGA being the best player in the league in terms of advanced stats and then also having the regular traditional stats. I mean, being a 30-point-per-game scorer that scores literally, it feels like 30 points is the baseline for him. Like, he just never gives you less than that. I think that he's going to get his flowers. I think he's going to win this award if things kind of stay the same. And I also don't think it hurts that, you know, Jalen Williams missed a big portion of the season to start the year. Like, that just put more on SGA's shoulders. And that's just more winning and more dominance from the guy that won MVP last year. You know, voters take notice of that type of stuff. And it's not the only absence that they're going to have all year because they've had guys in and out of the lineup all throughout the season. So I think that the fact that SGA is out there at plus money odds right now is something that everybody should go and grab. I think that that's a really good value play, even with some other guys really having great seasons. All right, well, we'll move into tonight's games. This is the Friday, December 12th slate. We are recording this at 9:45 a.m. Eastern. I'm going to start with the Bulls at the Hornets at 7 p.m. Eastern. This is a game where the Bulls are laying 3.5 in Charlotte. Totals 229.5. I really don't have a side or a total in this game, but I do really like Ryan Kalkbrenner for over 8.5 points at minus 111. This is a game where they are playing without LaMelo Ball. That hurts him a little because Ball, for as selfish as he could be as a scorer, is still one of the best passers in the league. And I do think that, you know, having him out there would help a play finisher like Kalkbrenner. But at the same time, Kalkbrenner scores 92% of his points around the basket. And this Bulls team is the worst team in the entire NBA when it comes to protecting the rim. I think that this is going to be a game where he's going to have some really easy looks around the rim. And it just kind of shows when you look at some of the players that have had good performances against this Bulls team in recent weeks. I mean, some of the centers that have gone over their points totals against this team recently include Quinton Post, Jay Huff twice, Goga Batadze, Wendell Carter Jr. in the same game, Khalil Ware, Luke Kornet. Like, these are guys going over their totals that are not exactly, you know, big parts of their team's offenses. That's what I like tonight, because I do think that Kalkbrenner is very similar to those. He's really more of a rim runner, a putback player. He's not somebody that they really run a lot of offense for. But I just think that he's going to have success because of his size, because of his finishing ability. And I'll also add that, like, Chicago plays at the second fastest pace in the entire NBA. So there's going to be a lot of possessions. That's always good for a big man, because I do think that this is going to just be a game where there's going to be more opportunities to kind of clean up around the rim. So I think that if Kalkbrenner can avoid foul trouble tonight, not exactly a guarantee, because he's going to be giving up quite a bit of weight against Nikola Vucevic. But I think if he can avoid foul trouble, I think that double digits is probably well within reason. And we only need 9, with the total being 8.5. Moving on to Hawks at Pistons. This game sees the Pistons laying 7.5 points. Total is 232.5. This one tips at 7 p.m. Eastern. There's going to be no Kristaps Porzingis or Trae Young for the Hawks. Those guys continue to be out of the lineup for Atlanta, and that is going to be something that I'm going to be monitoring over the next couple of weeks. I mean, Porzingis is dealing with that same illness that kind of derailed his season last year, and Trae Young, we've just seen that this team has been playing very well without him. I'm eager to see what it looks like once he's back in the mix, because I do believe there's a place for him with this Hawks team. I think Atlanta really needs some scoring, and that is part of the reason why I like Detroit tonight. But I'm going to be playing Detroit on the money line, not in on the spread, and I'm going to be parlaying it with the Mavericks to beat the Nets. But I'll talk about why right now. I think that Detroit, you look at this team, they've won 4 of their last 5. The Hawks had lost 3 of their previous 4 before the mini NBA Cup break. And this Detroit team is now 2-0 against Atlanta on the season, a perfect 10-0 under JB Bickerstaff when playing as a home favorite of 6.5 to 12 points. And the flip side of that is that the Hawks are 7-22 straight up as road underdogs of 6.5 to 12. So the same trend, reverse it. It's been a Detroit dominating at home, and it's been Atlanta struggling on the road. The Pistons are a really good money line anchor tonight. I just think that they're going to find a way to win this game. And I mentioned the defense before. This Detroit team is better than Atlanta defensively. And with Young out, I believe that Detroit is better offensively. And they also have, you know, the best closer in Cade Cunningham. So if this game is late, I would expect the Pistons to find a way to win it. And I'm parlaying it with the Mavericks to beat the Nets at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, because while the Nets have won 3 of their last 4, the Mavericks have won 4 of their last 5. And Dallas has done it against much better competition. And Dallas has a plus 4.2 net rating over the last 5 games. That's the 7th best mark in the entire NBA over that span. It's interesting, too, because this offense has been, you know, kind of catching up to the defense. I don't expect that to stay the rest of the season. This is a very good defensive team with Anthony Davis in the mix, and I think the offense is still going to be a little bit shaky. But the fact that this hasn't been an awful offense since, you know, throwing Ryan Nemhard into the mix as the starting point guard has kind of made Dallas, you know, I said it last episode or 2 episodes ago, like a bet on team for me, not a bet against team, because this is now a team that you can expect to dig in defensively. And if the offense is running a little bit better, they should win games like these. And, you know, Jason Kidd, in his time in Dallas, is 40-18 straight up when facing teams with winning percentages between 25-40. So they're getting a bad Nets team tonight. Usually under Jason Kidd, this Mavericks team can be trusted to beat bad teams. So I trust Dallas as the second leg of that parlay. You could get that at minus 130 right now as of recording. Maybe it'll be a little bit worse by the time you actually go to take it, but I really like this one. I'm going to end up playing it for a little bit more than a unit. And yeah, it's a Mavericks team that I think is fun to watch now all of a sudden. I know that they're going to be out without Kyrie Irving and Derek Lively for the long term. I mean, Lively just went surgery for, you know, a foot injury that has bothered him for most of his career now. But this is a team that I'm starting to think is a little bit more exciting than what we saw to start the season. Next game is Pacers at 76ers. The Sixers are laying 6.5 at DraftKings. Totals 224.5. But I actually got Indiana plus 7.5 at minus 110. And this is what I really like. I mean, I've been talking about this for weeks now, but this Pacers team has been playing a lot better basketball lately. And a lot of it has to do with Jay Huff kind of coming in and stabilizing the center spot. Over the last 10 games, Huff is averaging 10.9 points per game, 4.8 rebounds per game, and 3.4 blocks per game. Also shooting 36.5% from deep over the last 10 contests. This is a guy that has now come in and kind of given them a lot of what Miles Turner provided, almost like 75-80% of what Miles Turner provided. So he has stabilized that spot. It was a spot that was absolutely killing them early in the year. And then you also talk about some of the injuries that this team was dealing with, like the one to Benedict Mathurin, but he's back now. So this is a team that all of a sudden kind of balanced. I mean, they've covered in 8 of their last 10 games. They've won 2 in a row coming into this one. They've also won 4 of their last 6. I just think that this team is really, really solid at the moment. And I just don't trust the Sixers whatsoever to win by margin. So this is a game where there's going to be no Kelly Oubre Jr. for Philadelphia. That's a really solid two-way player for them and somebody that brings a lot of energy on a nightly basis. Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey are probable. Both of them should be out there, but I don't know if Embiid's going to dominate this game the way I would have thought he would have early in the season, because A, Embiid has not looked great, and B, like I said, the Pacers center position has been a lot better over the last couple of weeks. So I just don't know that there's that much that separates these teams, especially not 7.5. I would expect Indiana to hang around in this game and potentially have a chance to win it. I mean, I've said it, like, this is a team with a good backcourt now. Pascal Siakam is still an all-star. The system is great. I just don't think this is a team you're going to want to be fading the rest of the season. It almost feels like the market hasn't quite caught up to how well this team is playing right now. If you missed it the first time, good news. We're giving you one last chance to score an unforgettable Vegas weekend at Circa Resort and Casino. Right now, the first 100 new VSiN Pro annual subscribers who sign up using promo code CIRCA will receive a free 3-night stay at Circa Resort and Casino January 2nd through 5th, plus a day bed at Stadium Swim during the final weekend of the NFL regular season. You'll also save 50% off the monthly price and get a full year of VSiN Pro, daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video, and every betting guide from the college football playoff through next year's NFL. This is your last shot at the Circa getaway, so don't wait. Lock in your spot now at vsin.com/circa and use promo code CIRCA. That's vsin.com/circa. Let's move on now to Cavaliers at Wizards. This is another one that tips at 7 p.m. Eastern. This is a game where the Cavaliers are laying 14.5 points. Totals 242.5. This is a game that I would normally skip if I did not have a play in it. I've been trying to avoid double-digit spreads throughout the course of this season, and I would have liked to have skipped this game, but there is something that I like in this one, and that's Evan Mobley to go over 33.5 points, rebounds, and assists at minus 122. The Cavaliers are playing without Jared Allen tonight, and the Wizards are playing without Alex Sarr. I think that sets up really nicely for Mobley to have a pretty big game. I mean, he's only averaging 32.5 combined points, rebounds, and assists in games played without Allen. But I do think that the absence of Sarr is going to just make things a lot easier on Mobley as a scorer. I mean, Sarr is a very good rim protector, despite the fact that this Wizards team is very bad around the basket. But that only makes things worse and only makes things easier for Mobley, in my opinion. I mean, this Washington team is 28th in the league at defending around the basket. So I do think that, you know, losing a shot blocker like Sarr probably brings you down closer to being one of the worst teams in the league, if not the worst team. So I think Mobley's going to feast around the rim in this one. But I also think that Mobley is going to make his mark, you know, shooting the basketball, because this is a team in Washington that is also 28th in the NBA at defending above the break threes. And that is where Mobley scores 27% of his points. So you're talking about a guy that scores half of his points at the rim, another quarter of those, at above the break threes. And this is a team that's 28th in the league at defending both. I just think that Mobley is going to have a big impact in this game as a scorer. He's also had 10 rebounds in the last 3 games that he has played without Allen. And this is also a guy that's a very good passer. So I just think that we're going to see Mobley just kind of, you know, fill up the stat sheet in this one. And I wouldn't be surprised if this ends up being one of his bigger performances of the year. only thing I'm worried about, and I am very worried about it because it's been killing me this season. Like, one of the main reasons I've been losing is because I've had a lot of guys either, you know, on the wrong ends of blowouts or on the right ends of blowouts, but I've had players not playing in the fourth quarter because games have been lopsided. I do think there's a chance this happens tonight again in this one because, yeah, like I mentioned, Cavaliers favored by 14.5. There's a good chance this ends up being, you know, a 20-point game in the fourth quarter and everybody's resting starters. But hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully the Wizards can keep it somewhat respectable. We lost on this with Russell Westbrook last night. Hopefully we don't end up losing it again. Last game of the night that we're going to talk about is the Minnesota Timberwolves taking on the Golden State Warriors. This game is in Golden State at 10 p.m. Eastern. The Warriors are laying 1.5, totals 231.5. This is a really exciting game, too, because Stephen Curry does look like he is returning from his thigh injury, and that probably means that the superstar will be on a minutes restriction. This is an older player. This is somebody that they need to keep fresh, you know, for the long haul. I mean, this is a team that definitely has hopes of making a deep run in the Western Conference, but we're going to see Curry out there probably for a decent amount of time, and this is a team that had already been playing rather well without him. I mean, over the last seven games, they have a net rating of plus 6.5, defensive rating of 106.6, which is one of the best marks in basketball. This is always a team that we can count on to be good defensively, but without Curry, they are very much lacking in firepower. But I do think that you're going to see Curry kind of come in and fit in seamlessly. He has always been the one, you know, one of the few megastars. It's probably number one in terms of being able to fit into a system without just completely derailing things as far as like a high usage player goes. But I do think that this is a guy that you could trust to just kind of come in there, provide the shot making and playmaking that he always does without throwing off all of the chemistry that they have built up over the last couple games where, you know, Pat mother effing Spencer has played very well for this team. Like I said, the defense has been great and the turnovers have been down, which has been big. I mean, Steve Kerr said the other day that like the one thing preventing his team from taking the next step has been turnovers. And he has done a good job of limiting that over the last couple games. So as long as Curry doesn't come in and kind of mess all of that up, I just think the Golden State's going to keep rolling. And this is a Minnesota team that I believe is struggling right now. I know that they've won 5 of their last 6 games. That would seemingly go against everything I just said. But at the same time, they have failed to cover in 4 consecutive games. They just lost to the Suns without Devin Booker. I would say this is a team that's winning games, but not winning by as much as they should and has not looked as impressive as they should. So I think this is a real opportunity for Golden State to get back in the win column again. And I do think this is a game where you should take the Warriors on the money line at minus 125. So that's going to be a play for me. I think that this is a team that really should win at home. This has always been a really tough place to win for opposing teams. And I do like Minnesota overall. Like, I really like a lot of the pieces in that lineup, but with the way that this team is, you know, performing right now, I just can't see them going into Golden State and winning, especially without, you know, a strong point guard at the moment. Like, they've been playing Ant at the one a lot, and this is a Warriors team that could turn you over a ton. So I do think if Golden State's kind of locked in defensively, they're going to cause a lot of turnovers in this game. So, yeah, I think this is a game that the Warriors really should win. We're going to recap some best bets soon, but before we do so, if you're breaking down usage rates, defensive matchups, and pace, put that analysis to work on better picks. Pick more or less on player points, assists, and rebounds, and track the number in real time. Use code VSINPOD for $10 free, no deposit required, and with 1,000x multipliers, 2 sharp reads can turn into real payouts. Basketball just got better. Download better and use code VSINPOD. That's BETR, and the promo code is VSINPOD. We have a link for that in the description. Before I recap the best bets, I just want to say we will have a lot of content up on VSIN.com for the NBA Cup games tomorrow night. We're going to see the Magic versus the Knicks. We're going to see the Spurs versus the Thunder in a doubleheader in Vegas tomorrow night, the Saturday night slate for the NBA Cup, the semifinals. I'm really excited for those games, and I'm going to have stuff up, like I mentioned, on VSIN.com. So if you are looking for stuff for the NBA Cup, whether that's best bets or player props, I will have you covered over on the website. So if you are a VSIN Pro subscriber, head over there. And if you are not a VSIN Pro subscriber, I would suggest jumping in. We have a really good holiday offer right now to get all of our work all the way up through May 1st, where you get all of my writing, occasionally more bets that I'm giving away on the podcast, and then all of my talented colleagues, you know, who do every single sport. So we have more guys covering the NBA. It's not just me. Steve Mackinnon does a great job with his analytics, his betting trends, all of his betting insights. It just gives us a really good job of kind of just setting up the night for you. If you're looking to bet things, like going into it blind is not what you want to do. Head over to vsin.com, check out Mackinnon's stuff. But then we have you covered on every other sport. And I've mentioned it before in this podcast. If you're a tennis fan, it's right around the corner. The Australian Open's not too far away. I'm going to be handicapping tennis, you know, almost every week for vsin.com. I do a lot of tennis. So we just have you covered with everything. If you're a big sports fan and not just a basketball fan, now is a great time to take advantage of our holiday offer. But let's run down the best bets for Friday night. This is a loaded slate. I have a lot of picks. I have 5 best bets right now. Maybe we'll add some more at vsin.com. So head over there if you were interested in seeing if I do end up adding anything. But as of right now, the locked in plays are Ryan Kalkbrenner over 8.5 points at -111 against the Bulls. The Pacers +7.5 at -110 versus the 76ers. I have a parlay of Pistons money line against the Hawks and then Mavericks money line against the Nets at -130. That'll be to win 1.5 units. And then I have Evan Mobley over 33.5 points, rebounds, and assists at -122 against the Wizards. And then I have the Warriors money line at -125 against the Timberwolves. So those 5 plays for me for tonight, but we are going to have a lot more over the weekend. Like I said, NBA Cup tomorrow. You do not want to miss what I'm going to have to say about those games over at vsin.com. So please come back and join us next Monday for another episode of Hardwood Handicappers. And good luck with your bets tonight. Have a great weekend.